We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we're on chapter 16, the divine and demoniac natures. Text is number 17. Atma sambhavita stabda tanamana madanvita yajante nama yajnaiste dambhina viti purvakam. Ava sambhavita stabda tanamana madanvita yajante nama yajnaiste dhambena vidipurvakam. Atma sambhavita stabda tanamana madanvita yajante nama yajnaiste dhambena vidipurvakam. Vaishnavis. Ama sambhavita stabda dhanamana madanvita yachante nama yagnaiste dampena vidipurvakam. Ama sambhavita stabda dhanamana madanvita yajante nama yajnaiste dambena vidipurvakam. Atma sambhavita, self-complacent, stabda, impudent, dhanamana, of wealth and false prestige, mada, in the delusion, anvitaha, absorbed. Yajante, they perform sacrifice. Nama, in name only. Yajnai, with sacrifices. Te, they. Dampena, out of pride. Ividipurvakam, without following any rules and regulations. Translation: self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thinking themselves all in all, not caring for any authority or scripture, the demoniacs sometimes perform so-called religious or sacrificial rites. And since they do not believe in authority, they are very impudent. This is due to illusion caused by accumulating some wealth and false prestige. Sometimes such demons take up the role of preacher, mislead the people, and become known as religious reformers or as incarnations of God. They make a show of performing sacrifices, or they worship the demigods, or manufacture their own god. Common men advertise them as God and worship them, and by the foolish they are considered advanced in the principles of religion or in the principles of spiritual knowledge. They take the dress of the renounced order of life and engage in all nonsense in that dress. Actually, there are so many restrictions for one who has renounced this world. The demons, however, do not care for such restrictions. They think that whatever path one can create is one's own path. There is no such thing as a standard path one has to follow. The word avidhi purvakam, meaning a disregard for the rules and regulations, is especially stressed here. These things are always due to ignorance and illusion. So, atma sambhavita, self-complacent, stubda, impudent. The word impudent comes from Latin, and it means to be without shame. So, this is to be without shame, or have any sense for what is right and wrong, and to feel some sort of remorse or shame when one's not doing things properly is actually a sign of advancement in spiritual life. As mentioned in the Padyavali, a verse that Prabhupada quotes frequently, kama dinam katina katita palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti utsri jayatanata yarupate samprata labda buddhis tamayata sharanam abhayam mam niyukshva matasye. In this, the devotee shows what it means to feel some shame. And the verse says that, and it's the voice of a devotee, for how long and how many ways have I obeyed the bad masters of lust, anger, greed? They've never given me any mercy. They've never given me any break. And I've never questioned them. In other words, I was impudent. I had no shame in simply obeying the bad masters. But then he goes on to say that now my intelligence has awakened, labdha buddhi. I've gained my intelligence. And now I understand that I was following blindly these bad masters. Therefore he says, utsri jaitanata yarupate. He's appealing to Krishna that now I would like some direct service. Utsri jaitanata yarupate samprata labdha buddhis taimayata sharanam mam niyukshva madasya. I'm coming to you for shelter. And the devotee then has shelter because there is some vidhi. This is another aspect of the demoniac mentality. Avidhi purvakam. Which is that dambena vidhi purvakam. Avidhi means that one doesn't follow any rules. Or if he follows rules, he follows his own rules and not Krishna's. But this is not following Krishna's rules leads to distress and suffering for living entities. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava. What is it? Shadavanta nasuyanto muchante te pi karma bihi. So he says that if you follow my instructions carefully, he gives clear instructions of what to do and what not to do. Then he says, Shadavanta nusuyanto muchante tepi karma bihi. Then you'll be freed from the reactions to your activities. Muchante tepi karma bihi. There's a resultant reaction for those who make up their own rules. And it doesn't matter if one is a demigod or some tiny living entity. One is bound by these reactions. Yastvindra gopa matavendra mahosakarma bandhan rupa palabhajana matanoti karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma says in the Brahma Sanhita that from Indra, the chief of the demigods, down to a tiny little insect named Indragopa, everyone is getting the results and being bound by them of their previous karmas, which is due to not following Krishna's instruction. But Krishna says, Yeme matam idam nityam anutishchanti manava shadavanto nusuyanto. If one with faith, one develops faith that by following Krishna's instructions that everything will be done, then muchante tepi karmabhi, then one becomes free from the reactions of sinful activity. This shraddha, having faith in Krishna's instructions, is the foundational point of devotional service. Shraddha shabde vishwas kahe suridanishchoy krishne bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. In Bengali, from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, faith means a clear understanding that if I follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, if I perform devotional service according to the instructions of the previous acharyas, then everything else will be done perfectly. I won't need to do anything else. All other duties are done. This means shraddha. So, shraddhavanto, somebody who has that faith, suyanto, and is without envy. It doesn't envy, as it's possible. In fact, this is foundational to this attitude, which is expressed in the verse we're reading tonight. There's an envy of Krishna, or of any authority, and wanting to act independently. But one who develops this faith that by following Krishna's instruction that I will be greatly benefited, and it's the right thing to do. Even if the person can't do it, shadavanta nasuyanto, if one's without envy, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport that if a person doesn't envy the principle or resent the principle, that he or she can't follow it properly yet, but still has faith in it and continues, then muchante tepi karma bihi, then one will become free from the laws of karma and the reactions of karma. On the other hand, he says in the next verse that those who don't have faith in this principle, what's the next verse? Ye tve matam idam. Let's say it louder. Ye tve tat abhisuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimunanstan vidhi nashtan achetasaha. Yeah, this is the opposite. He says that one becomes bound again and doesn't get freed from material life. A similar statement elsewhere in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Ashradadhana purusha purushyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityusam saravartmani. Somebody who's ashradadhana, it doesn't have this shraddha, which shraddha means the heart. And dha is an active verb. It means where you place something. It's where, what you put your heart into. Shraddhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa. Somebody who doesn't have this abiding faith in the instruction of Krishna, and therefore becomes avidhi, and doesn't follow any rules and regulations of the scripture, then that person, mrityu samsaravartmani, then that person is bound to go back on this path called the path of birth and death. Not a nice path to walk down. Ashradhana purusha dharma syasya parantapa aprapya doesn't attain me. Aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani attains the path of death and birth again in this material world. So, this is a very stark contrast between those who are divine and those who are demoniac. And not just stark, but it's a clear definition. There are those who believe that there is a process given, their axiomatic truths given, and directions that one must follow. And there are those that do not believe in these and feel that the world is open for interpretation, and therefore one may invent one's own system and one's own rules. Prabhupada talks in very practical terms in various places about some of the repercussions for not following a system which is backed by the axiomatic truths of the Shastra. For instance, in this verse, one of the aspects mentioned is dana mana madanvitaha, which is dana mana, of wealth and false prestige, mada in the delusion, anvitaha, absorbed in wealth and false prestige. So there's a system. Prabhupada commenting on this says that there's a way in which people of demoniac mentality feel that if you have wealth, then you're okay. If you have a lot of money, everything's all right. This is how things are, how one is judged oftentimes, or most times, especially nowadays in the Kali Yuga. The communist system is a sort of a revolution of the Shudras. The idea is everyone should be a common worker, and everything should belong to the state. But currently, especially in Western countries, or America, sort of the leader of the pack when it comes to inventing new demoniac principles, the idea, there's a revolution of the vaishyas, where those who are the best vaishyas, they know how to make money. They get elevated to the highest position. And even if they have no moral principles, they don't follow any shastric principles, they're not even truthful. If they make a lot of money, everyone says, hey, you know, they're okay. And this is one of the implications given in this verse, that the idea of having a lot of money or giving money in charity wantonly is a sign of advancement. But Krishna is opposed to this idea. This is not a standard for elevation of consciousness. So, especially at the last section of the purport, again, Prabhupada says the word avidipurvakam, meaning a disregard for the rules and regulations, is especially stressed here. These things are always due to ignorance and illusion. So, that's important to know, that if one is reluctant to follow the rules of given in the Shastra, this is due to ignorance and illusion. Because if one is not in ignorance and illusioned, one understands that the rules and regulations are beneficial for me. As Krishna says, Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaisharan atmavasher vidhyatma prasadam adigachati. In this verse, the famous translation which mentions the regulative principles of freedom, a sort of a unique idea, counterintuitive to the sense of independence that people might cultivate, thinking that let me do whatever I want. There's a sense of I want to be free to do anything that I want. However, this verse points out that there's a way in which one should become, instead of free to do whatever one wants, one should become free from the influences of one's senses. As I mentioned earlier, kama adinam katina katida palita durineshas, which is, there's this almost a personification of these bad master, there's of the impulses which are personified as these bad masters telling you what to do. And so, freed from them, free from the influence of these bad masters, that's a real freedom that Krishna mentions. And you can get that, you can take shelter of the instructions that Krishna gives. And just by, even if you have the intention that I think I'll follow these instructions, and you try to do it, even if you can't do it perfectly, then you get liberated. On the other hand, those who are determined to avoid following the prescribed rules given by Krishna for one's own benefit cause disturbance not only for themselves but for everybody else as well. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatriki Vidimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktiru Patayaiva Kalpate. Rupa Goswami gives in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu this important verse that says, even devotional service, one may be doing devotional service, but if it doesn't follow the rules given by the Shruti, the Smriti, the Panchatriki Vidhi, then it causes a disturbance in society. In fact, even in this 17th chapter of the Gita, when speaking about the austerities of speech, Krishna mentions that one's speech should be truthful, beneficial, should not offend others. And Prabhupada mentions in his purport that such speech should conform to Shastra, should be backed by Shastric principle. Otherwise, it's a disturbance to those who have regulated their lives around the scripture. If I say anything, I should back it up. Otherwise, it's annoying, isn't it? Say yes. Yeah, it's annoying. Somebody makes propounds a spiritual theory, but then has no way to back it up and just says that I assume it's like this, or this is my idea, my philosophy. It's not accepted in the by those who are following the vidhi, because they have taken shelter of that principle that everything must follow the instruction given by the Shruti, Smriti, Panchatrik, Vidhi, etc., because these are accepted as axiomatic and coming from the Supreme Personality of God in Himself. So far from being a life of depravity or deprivation, those who follow the scriptures carefully, the rules and regulations, find that they live in abundance. The verse after Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu, which is the verse I refer to as the regulative principles of freedom, or as the Grihastha Vision team has for their tagline, says, strengthening the bonds that free us. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The next verse says, prasadi sarva dukanam hani rasyo pajayate prasanna chetaso yasu bhuti pariyavatishtate. That is, prasade, when one gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord by following carefully, then one's misery goes away. Prasadi sarvatukhanam hanyaram, which means your misery is abated. Your misery is diminished. It's killed, actually. Hanirasyopajaya prasana chetaso, and your consciousness becomes uplifted. You become prasana, means happy. Prasana chetaso yashu buddhi parivadishte, and your intelligence becomes fixed. Fixed intelligence. So that some contrast, the demoniac mentality, which is given in part in its details in this verse, in today's verse, can develop and become acute. Means that it continues to. There's no end to the way in which one becomes entangled and more implicated by maintaining this attitude. Sigmund Freud was very pessimistic about human nature. After studying the human psyche, he had a sense that human beings, left to their own self-guidance, could become unlimitedly depraved. And we can see also, and Prabhupada speaks about this in regards to the demoniac mentality, that one might then use one's intelligence to invent means to destroy most of the people in the world. And this is the ultimate result of not following Krishna's instructions, that one becomes implicated more and more. So, if one takes the vidhi given by Krishna, the ultimate vidhi is sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshayishami masujaha. If you just surrender to me, to my instruction, then I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. And he says in the eighth chapter of the Gita, that if you do this, you simply follow the path of devotional service, then you won't be bereft of any of the desirables that human beings are normally interested in, or the means for attaining them. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pratishtam adyeti tat sarva midam vititva yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam. So he says there's a way in which, just by following the path of devotional service, you get the results of studying the Vedas, of performing all kinds of sacrifices, of giving in charity, daneshu, punya, all the pious activities. So one should, one has full guidance from the Gita to give up the demoniac mentality, take to a simple approach, which is following Krishna's instructions from the Gita with precision and in the mood and method of the previous acharyas. If one follows this system, then very easily one can advance to a happy life. Whereas if one gives up any kind of faith in the Supreme, or in the context of performing devotional service, one invents one's own ways and means of performing devotional practice, one may be waylaid and may also cause a disturbance to the rest of the devotional society. And now we'll take a few reflections. Reflection means something that you heard from the purport or from the monologue that stuck in your mind. Yes, Prabhu? Do we have a second microphone?
was saying that when he was living at John Lennon's estate, he was seeing he's such a degraded person. People pay attention to what he says because he's just because he's got money.
Yeah, Prabhupada noticed when he walked in, they were staying, the devotees were, John Lennon had invited them to stay on his estate. There was a separate house there, I guess for workers or something like that. But Prabhupada once came into his main house, and there was a huge portrait of John Lennon there naked. And Prabhupada took this as an emblem of this wanton disregard for Shastra, for following any kind of tenets of human civilization. And he gives this as an example of the way in which dana mana madanvita, that if you have a lot of money or if you give in charity and so forth, then whatever you do seems like okay to everybody. It's like he's rich, so it's no big deal. Almost you would become celebrated for your depravity in that way. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, Prabhu?
Thanks.
Hare Krishna. Go right ahead. Understand Krishna's offer to free you from all sinful reaction? Well, it's kind of like if you're broke, you don't have any money, and you don't have any means in life, and then a very wealthy person comes with a huge bag of money, and then extends it to you and says, take it, I'll just give it to you, without any strings attached. So then you have a choice. That is, you can take it or not take it. So this is the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Krishna's offering to anyone, if you want to close down your failed business in the material world, which has disastrous consequences and for which you've incurred so much debt that you'll never get out of it, he gives this clause at the end of the Bhagavad Gita in which he says, all right, I'll absolve you of all your all the implications you've incurred because of the way you've conducted yourself in the material world, and we'll just erase it all. And I'll give you full shelter. So that's what the verse means. And it's an offer open to anybody at any time. So Jiva Goswami says, devotees live their devotional life fully concentrated on this verse. And in fact, even in Bhagavatam, we have Tate Anukampam Susumikshamano Bhunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. There was a way in which the devotee understands Krishna's merciful offer and is simply living his or her life in a way to accept that and is expecting that mercy at any time because Krishna said it. Krishna's speech is not empowered, it is the power. There's the way in which Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, in the Chaturshloki, that the order of the Supreme Personality of God is a manifestation of His internal potency, and it's by that potency that one comes to see the Supreme Lord face to face. So if He gives the instruction, just surrender to Me, then one can do that. One might try that. One might just say, okay, then I'll do it, I'll surrender. And by that, one will immediately experience the reciprocation of Krishna.
Does anybody come and say, hey, rich,
Well, it's not a matter of having to go through, although this is the injunction of the scripture, tadvignanartam sagrum eva bigachet. There's a sense there that, yes, you have to do this, it's an imperative. But it's also speaking of the psychology of one who realizes the opportunity, that I have to have this. Once one realizes what's being offered and what's at stake, it's more the psychology that you know, I need to do this immediately. And as far as going through a guru and Gauranga and any agent that's coming that's helpful in achieving that surrender, one simply takes advantage of each one of those very eagerly. All of these are agents of Krishna helping us to achieve that full surrender. So it's a complete facility. And I must say that to rescue, I saw a little movie clip of somebody some people out in the jungle trying to rescue an elephant from a water pit that he had fallen into. And it took him a couple of hours with, they had a truck and they put a rope around him, and there were about 20 people trying to pull him out of the pit. Poor elephant. And they finally got him out. And I was thinking, you know, Guru and Lord Chaitanya and the Shastra, they're all pulling from every direction, you know, get him out of there. They're trying to pull him out of the pit, but it takes everybody. I mean, it's not an easy thing to get one little jiva out of the material energy. In fact, in the personified Vedas say, this is the Lord's most glorious pastime, is saving the living entities from the material world. So it's a very interesting pastime. And we get to be part of it because we're here from this side, participating. And when one can fully experiment with this, with one's own life, you can double down and gamble on this. That I'll just go ahead and try. Like Maharaj's class this morning was brilliant. He was just talking about how, you know, you have all the gain and nothing to lose from surrender. But that's something you have to hear every morning. It's not like you hear it once and you go, I got it. But you hear it constantly, and you keep working for that surrender. And this is the main aspect of devotional service, Sharanagati, the sixfold path of implementing in every which way that one can the principles of adhering to Krishna's instructions. It's a very sweet thing. When one realizes the integrity of one's own consciousness of following Krishna's instructions, one feels naturally satisfied, doesn't need anything else. The instruction itself is completely satisfying. And one's notice one's awareness of one's own willingness to follow the instruction. For instance, if you're chanting Hare Krishna and you suddenly realize, I actually want to surrender, and you can augment that feeling. And there is no happier feeling for the jiva. That's why in the song we sang before class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jiv Krishna Dase Bishwas Koletor Artuko Nai. If you just realize this one thing, I'm a servant of Krishna, and you just say that, I'm a servant of Krishna, then there's no more misery for you. This is a very happy state. Yes, 1-2.
Why is it that Krishna, in this particular point in the Gita, is bringing this particular points up? He had just explained in the 12th chapter basically the conclusion of everything is devotional service, and then after that he starts to describe material nature, and then he tells Arjuna that the difference between divine and demoniac personalities. How does that benefit Arjuna in this particular situation?
Well, Sri Parishad says, Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad vedo bayam saha avidyayam ratum tirtva vidyayam ratum ashrute. Only one who can learn the process of nations and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So the juxtaposition of understanding the process of nations, there is a process as evidenced in very systematized verses like Jayato Vishayam Pumsam Sangasteshu Pajayate. There's a way in which material nature has its very specific systematic results according to one's consciousness. So Krishna's explicating those so we can be fully aware of them. And this constitutes the Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means knowledge of my relationship with Krishna, also my relationship with the material nature. The more I understand that, what is my relationship with the material nature? Well, first of all, Asango Hyayam Purushaha. I don't have any real relationship with the material nature. But if I insist upon it, here's what the result's going to be. Knowing that, and also what Krishna says in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, those two things together, it's like epoxy glue. We used to buy it in tubes, and you have to mix them together, and then it bonds very strongly. Is this something? Is this a thing here in India? You can get that glue? Or is it all in one tube now? Still get two? Okay, fantastic. I always asked my father when I was a kid, why do you have to have two tubes? Why can't you just have one? He said, they're separate things. When you mix them together, there's a synergy, a chemical reaction that makes them bond together. So the realization gets bonded when you put the two things. You understand the process of nescience, and you also understand the process of knowledge side by side. It really helps. It's helpful. Krishna's being helpful. Let him ask.
Krishna Bhagavan, when we discuss about the Abhiti Purva, disregard the rules of the English, we are discussing so many things. And what about that nectar of instruction that Goswami said, Niyama Agraha, so many rules of the English also will spoil the bhakti. What's your commentary on this?
It's a matter of attitude. It's why you're following the rules and regulations. So niyamagraha, niyamagraha. There's two meanings. So niyamagraha means that you drift off and you don't follow them properly. As in, by doing that, by becoming complacent, neglecting, or thinking you're entitled to not follow because you're so advanced, that these there's a way in which one then doesn't get the result of following the process. And also niyamagraha means you're following it, but you're not also, you may be going through the motions, but you're also not aware that you're following it or why you're following it. For instance, you can chant Hare Krishna and not be aware that you're chanting Hare Krishna. You could do that for one round, right? Is it possible to chant one round without being aware that you're actually chanting a round? Could you do it for two rounds? How about for 16? How about every day for a week? How about every day for a month? How about every day for a year or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? It's possible to do. So this, what Rupa Goswami is really doing in this verse is saying, hey, be fully aware why you're doing these things. Do it with your heart. Because when you do that, then you get the result. You're responsible. You have to practice in such a way that you connect. Because yoga means to connect. And you're the one who's trying to connect with Krishna. He's already fully extended to us. It's not his problem that we're not feeling communion. It's my problem. So I have to extend myself in a proper way. And the proper way is also... The attitude of the devotee is also given throughout the Shastra, that one should do it in a humble state of mind, and one should do it with feeling bereft, as Queen Kunti says. One should feel that I'm a kinchana, I'm helpless when I'm calling out. In those ways, if one follows the process, then one will feel the result very powerfully, and Nothing succeeds like success. If you can get even a molecule of realization from chanting japa, as an example, then you will be sustained in your devotional practice. And not only that, that molecule will overflow, and you'll be able to distribute the residual effect of that to the whole world. What to speak if you get even more than that? This is called alesha. What is that? What is the verse, 10th canto? Prashada leshanu grihita evahi. How does it start? Anyway, prashada leshanu grihita evahi janati tadvam bhagavan mahimno. First line? Huh? Atapite teva padambuja dvaya prashada leshanu grihita evahi janati tadvam bhagavan mahimno chanya eko picharam vachinvan. So this lesha means just a whiff, just a trace, even molecule. So one has to try for that. That's the spirit of practicing with full awareness. Be aware of what you're doing. Do it for Krishna. Yes? I think this is a vidhi because we're past. Huh? I can? Okay. We have a bona fide judge here who can... Okay. And what was the last thing you said? Okay.
So Krishna says, rasopyasya, rasobhaja, that ultimately we have to get the higher taste to give up the lower taste. Ultimately, to take the root cause, you know, to get really into the root, and we have to get really high taste, it seems, from our position, perspective. And yet, we're not meant to meditate on Krishna's feet, but gradually up as we're more qualified. So how do we get higher taste without going too far?
I mean, I think I know what you mean. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I have a slight idea. A couple of points that are given. Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that, what verse am I thinking? I'm sorry. Sway sway adhikarya nishta saguna parikirtita viparyat dosha syad. He says that one has to act according to one's qualification, one's adhikari. So sway sway, one's personal, everyone has a particular qualification. Everyone's in a particular situation. I've been noticing this. There's nobody that comes into the Krishna conscious movement without some unique set of complex circumstances. They're always complex. You did what? They did what? How did you get into that? It's a sticky mess. In fact, the material world's compared to mango sap. You get mango sap in your hair, you better cut off your hair, because it's not coming out. Sway sway adhikarya nishta saguna parikirtita. Krishna says it's a good quality if you understand what is my qualification, what's my situation now, and you act accordingly. It's okay to be a beginner. It's okay. There's no problem with that. Then he says, viparya tu doshasya. The opposite is true. Viparya tu doshas. It's a fault if you try to do more than you're qualified for. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says that this is just like climbing a ladder. When you climb a ladder, you have to put one foot on a rung. And when you feel that your foot is solidly on the rung, then you can step to the next rung. He said if you try to run up the ladder without having a foot on each rung, then you might slip. On the other hand, he said, you shouldn't also go too slow. or hesitate to move forward when you're ready to move. Because then he says, your advancement will be distant. And so there's a way in which one might try to do more than one's qualified to do. And this could be a problem. And the other problem might be that one claims to be permanently unqualified. The fact that this is an attitude towards, oftentimes towards others. People might say, everyone's permanently unqualified. There are only certain souls who are advanced, and everybody else is permanently unqualified. But that's not what the Shastra says, not what Lord Chaitanya says. Krame krame, step by step, he says, if you follow, if you just chant Hare Krishna, then you'll come to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. So, this is, anyway, that's one thought. And the other thought is that there's a way in which Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions the progression from Shraddha to Prema, as we all know, Adau Shraddha Tatasara Sangha Tabajana Kriya, etc. But he also mentions in the Madhurya Kadambini that there's a way in which, even though one may be at the stage of Shraddha or Sadhu Sangha or Bhajana Kriya, one may also get a taste of some of the higher stages. It's not that they follow an absolute procession, Krishna has the right to give everyone a taste, a free sample at any point, just to inspire them. A case in point is Narada Muni. Though a five-year-old boy was given a special taste for the highest position of devotional service. And then it was taken back again. And Krishna told him, you're a ku yogi. You're not quite there yet. So you have to go on and wait for the mercy to descend to you. You can't do it mechanically. But still, that taste will remain. Even if a devotee is immature and falls down in devotional service, Navai jano jatu katan chandavrajan mukunda sevan yava samsritim smaran. What is it? Smaran mukundang grupaguhana punar vihatam ichena rasagrahojana. Even those who take up the process of devotional service, but somehow or other fall down from the process, don't experience material life like ordinary people, because they remember again and again that taste that they got at some point. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on that verse in the Bhagavatam, and he says, it's the ghost of rasa. It haunts you, you know, like you're trying to enjoy the material life, and it's like, woo. Remember? There was a taste, you had a taste one time, it's like, darn, you know. Yes, Prabhu. Uh-oh, we got to use the mic, otherwise.
The taste which stays back with us, is that the same taste you're talking, which we call as chaya bhav? Sometimes we experience that ecstasy for a moment, and then again we get back to the normal life, but that experience remains. Nectar of devotion, there's something chaya bhava, you know, between a bhava and...
Yeah, that can be one of the ways in which one experiences that taste. That comes from association with advanced devotees. If one associates with an advanced devotee, Rupa Goswami writes in the Rakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's like a moonshine, and it touches one. And you can actually feel that in the association of advanced devotees, just by their association. In fact, there are verses like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which just by hearing the voice of a Mahabhagavata, then one, because of the vibration, is different. One realizes one's position as an eternal servitor of Krishna. It's said that the vibration of the highly advanced soul is like the vibration of the voice is mixed with saffron mercy particles. Because when a pure devotee speaks, it touches Krishna's lotus feet. And it, in case you didn't know that, there were particles of saffron on Krishna's lotus feet. So the vibration gets mixed with that. So it goes within the ear. It's saying poetically like that, that then the heart changes by hearing that, hearing from the advanced pure devotees.
And just, since you were speaking about Sarvadharma Paritya, this thing strikes me, I don't know, I'm just trying to get it clear from you. Is it true that I've been hearing it quite a few times here and there in the class, that Krishna, we are fearful to surrender because Hari, you know, he may take away everything. But when Krishna takes away, actually when Krishna takes away your wealth and your fame and you are completely broken and shattered and still you are practicing spiritual life, that is a special, special mercy of Krishna. So is that like a true statement? I mean, when Krishna takes away your wealth, it's especially...
Well, I don't know if you're going to make a lot of converts with broken and shattered. Those particular words...
But
no, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very gentle. He gives advice about progressively advancing. And in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, think of me all the time and just meditate on me. If you can't do that, and follow the process of devotional service to practice doing that. If you can't do that, then give away your money to help spread book distribution. I'll see you afterwards. And because your mind will follow your money if you're still attached to money. And so you can start in that way. He said if you can't do that, then just try to be charitable and see what happens. Because as soon as you start giving things away, you realize, hey, I'm okay. And when you try to hold on to everything, you actually suffer. Because tena tak tena bunjita, we really don't have anything except what Krishna allots to us. And if you start giving it away, especially to Krishna, then you'll notice that, hey, I survive. That's the first thing that will come to your mind. I'm still okay, and I'm still living in abundance. In fact, I feel better than I was before. By giving, you grow. So Krishna teaches this process in the Gita. And those who receive what we talk about, you know, special mercy, when Krishna says, Harishe tadhanam shanai, take away all his wealth and things like that. That's there as a support for when these things do happen to us. So we have a way to process what happens to us in this lifetime. Because when you lose something, you have to become philosophical. It's the only way to deal with it. Just like if you get a new car and then someone hits your car, what do you do? You'd suddenly become philosophical. It's like, it's just a car. That's philosophy. You know, your girlfriend leaves you, and it's like, oh, there's more out there. You know, that's philosophy too. So these are philosophical ways that Krishna gives us to deal with the way he's purifying us. We can understand. If you can understand that it's Krishna's mercy when it's happening, and you can become aware of Krishna, then it's actually highly beneficial. Okay. Anything else? Well, thank you very much for your kind attention and participation in this great yajna of reading Bhagavad Gita here in the Holy Dham. Gaur Premanande Nitai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo Nitai Gaura Haribo Haribo Hari Bol Nitai Gora Hari Bol Vanchakalpa Dhruvishcha Kripa Sinnabeva Chapatitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Natakodi Vaishnavindiki Jai.